It's 1937, May 1st. Today I felt the nearness of my mother, my heavenly mother. I do before every Holy Communion, I earnestly ask the Holy Mother of God to help me prepare my soul for the coming of her Son. And I clearly feel her protection over me. And I entreat her to be so gracious as to enkindle in me the fire of God's love, such as burned in her own pure heart at the time of the incarnation of the Word of God. So it's nice to prepare our communion as Heavenly Mother to prepare us for Holy Communion. May 4th. Today I went to see Mother General for a moment and asked her, "Dear Mother, have you heard any inspiration regarding my leaving the convent?" Mother General answered, "Until the present, sister, I've always restrained you, and now I leave you complete freedom to choose to do as you wish. You can leave the congregation or you can stay." So I answered, "Very well." I thought of writing immediately to the Holy Father to ask him to release me from my vows. When I had left Mother General, darkness once again descended upon my soul, as it had in the past. It is strange that each time I ask permission to leave the congregation, this darkness invades my soul, and I feel as though I've been left completely on my own. While experiencing these torments of the spirit, I decided to go immediately to Mother and tell her about my strange torments and struggle. Mother answered, "That living of yours is a temptation." After talking to her for a while, I felt some relief, but the darkness persisted. This divine mercy is a beautiful thing, and it must be great work of the Lord, seeing Satan opposes it so much and wants to destroy it. Such were the words of our beloved Mother General. No one can understand or comprehend, nor can I myself describe my torments. But there can be no sufferings greater than this. The sufferings of the martyrs are not greater, because at such times, death would be a relief for me. There is nothing to which I can compare these sufferings, this endless agony of the soul. May 5th. Today I opened up my soul somewhat in confession, because it occurred to me that perhaps this is the real temptation. Then at time, I asked to be allowed to leave the congregation. I experienced such great sufferings and darkness. To this, the confessor replied that perhaps it was not the time appointed by God. You must pray and wait patiently. But it is true that great sufferings are in store for you. You have to bear many sufferings and overcome many difficulties. That much is certain. It would be better to wait and to pray more for deeper knowledge and for divine light. These are grave matters. My God, in these difficult moments, my spiritual director for Andres is away, for he has gone to Rome. Jesus, since you have taken him away from me, guide me yourself, because you alone know how much I can bear. I believe firmly that God cannot give me more than I can bear. I trust in His mercy. In the moments when I am between heaven and earth, I keep silence, because if I did speak, who will understand what I say? Eternity will reveal many things about which I am now silent. When I went into the garden, I saw how everything was breathing the joy of spring. The trees adorned with flowers gave off an intoxicating odor. Everything was throbbing with joy, and the birds were singing and chirping with the adoration of God, and said to me, "Rejoice and be happy, Sister Faustina." But my soul remains in torment and darkness. My soul is so sensitive to the rustle of grace that it knows how to talk with all created things and with everything that surrounds me. I know why God has adorned the earth in this way. But my heart cannot be joyful because my beloved has eaten himself from me, and I will not rest until I find him. I do not know how to live without God, but I also feel that God, absolutely self-sufficient though he is, cannot be happy without me. So this is the darkness of the soul. It's what John of the Cross experienced many times. You have to be patient and believe him. May 6, the Ascension of the Lord, of our Lord. Since early this morning, my soul has been touched by God. After Holy Communion, I communed for a while with the Heavenly Father. My soul was drawn into the glowing center of love. I understood that no exterior works could stand comparison with pure love of God. I saw the joy of the incarnate Word and was immersed in the divine Trinity. When I came to myself, longing filled my soul, and I yearned to be united with God. Such tremendous love for the Heavenly Father enveloped me that I can this day an uninterrupted ecstasy of love. The whole universe seemed to me like a tiny drop in comparison with God. There is no greater happiness than when God gives me to know in theory that every beat of my heart is pleasing to Him, and when He shows me that He loves me in a special way. This strong inner conviction by which God assures me of His love for me and of how much my soul pleases Him brings deep peace to my soul. Throughout this day, I was unable to take any food. I felt gratified to the full with love. God of great mercy, who deigned to send us your only begotten Son as the greatest proof of your faithfulness, love, and mercy. You do not reject sinners, but in your boundless mercy, you have opened for them also your treasures. Treasures from which they can draw abundantly not only justification but also all the sanctity that a soul can attain. Father of great mercy, I decide that all hearts turn with confidence to your infinite mercy. No one will be justified before you if he is not accompanied by your unfathomable mercy. When you reveal the mystery of your mercy to us, there will not be enough of eternity to properly thank you for it. Oh, how sweet it is to have in the depth of one soul that which the Church tells us we must believe. When my soul is immersed in love, I solve the most intricate questions clearly and quickly. Only love is able to cross over precipices and mountain peaks. Love, once again, love. May 12th. A strange darkness sometimes invades my intellect. I'm submerged in nothingness against my will. So all these days, at times, she can sense something imitate, you know, the divine trinity, and then sometimes complete darkness. God's preparing herself for the glory, because she will die that year. So you can see. May 20th, 1937. When for a whole month I had been enjoying good health, it occurred to me that I did not know which was more pleasing to the Lord, by serving Him in illness or in the robust health for which I had asked Him. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, do with me as you please. And Jesus returned me to my precious condition. So she prefer whatever. If she's suffering, she enjoys suffering to offer for sinners. She didn't choose peace. She chose whatever God wants her to go through. Oh, how sweet it is to live in a convent among sisters, but I must not forget that these angels are in human bodies. That means they're not angels. In human body, you can imagine. Many times you criticize the religious people. They should, you know, as a priest, as a nun, you should be better, you know. You should behave like saints. That's what we expect. On one occasion, I saw Satan hurrying about and looking for someone among the sisters, but he could have found no one. I felt an interior inspiration to command him in the name of God to confess to me that what he was looking for among the sisters. And he confessed, though unwillingly, I'm looking for idle souls. When I command him again in the name of God to tell me to which souls in religious life he has the easiest access, he said again unwillingly, the lazy and idle souls. I took note of the fact that at present there were no such souls in this house. Let a toiling and tired soul rejoice. So idling and laziness is Satan is looking for this kind of soul. Many times we see to, you know, just take it easy, not to work too hard. That means you're not doing exactly the will of God. Then Satan's coming in. May 22nd, 1937. The heat is so intense today that it is difficult to bear. We are all thirsting for rain, and still it does not come. For several days, the sky has been overcast, but there is no rain. When I looked at the plants, thirsting for the rain, I was moved to pity. I decided to say the chaplet until the Lord would send us rain. Before supper, the sky covered over with clouds, and a heavy rain fell on the earth. I've been saying this prayer without interruption for 3 hours. And the Lord let me know that everything can be obtained by means of this prayer, Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Not only for the sick, for the dying, even for the plant to get water. May 23rd, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. During Holy Mass, I find myself suddenly ununited with the Most Holy Trinity. I recognized His majesty and greatness. I was united to the three persons. And once I was united to one of these most venerable persons, I was at the same time united to the other two, joy and happiness that my soul felt is beyond description. It grieves me that I am unable to put down in words that which has no words. I heard these words: tell the superior general to count on you as the most faithful daughter in the order. After these words, I received an interior understanding of what all created things are before God. Immense and incomprehensible is majesty, and that he condescends towards us in the peace of his mercy. All things will have an end in this well of tears. Tears will run dry, and pain will cease. Only one thing will remain: love for you, O Lord. All things will have an end in this exile, the ordeals and wilderness of the soul. And though she lives in perpetual agony, if God is with her, nothing can shake her. So at times we are living in the world, so much worries about for us. The importance is keep God in you. Just keep this. May 27, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. During prayer, I heard these words: my daughter, let your hearts be filled with joy. I, the Lord, am with you. Fear nothing. You are in my heart. At that moment, I knew the great majesty of God, and I understood that nothing could be compared with one single perception of God. Outward greatness dwindled like a speck of dust before one act of deeper knowledge of God. The Lord has poured such a depth of peace in my soul that nothing will disturb it anymore. Despite everything that goes on around me, I am not deprived of my peace for a moment. Even if the whole world were crumbling, it would not disturb the depth of silence which is within me, in which God rests. All events, all the various things which happen, are under his foot. The deep awareness of God gives me full liberty and spiritual freedom, and nothing can disturb my close union with him, not even the angelic powers. I feel that I'm great, but I'm united to God. What happiness it is to have the consciousness of God in one's heart, and to live in close intimacy with him. So only in silence you can keep God in you. Try this. Don't disturb yourself by outward things. Keep this interior silence. To have the blessed Trinity in you, have the Lord in you. That time of peace. When the procession from Berwick came to our house, hearing him who was to be reposed in our chapel, I heard a voice coming from the host: here is my repose. During benediction, Jesus gave me to know that soon a solemn moment would take place on this very spot. Lord Jesus, I am pleased to rest in your heart, and nothing will stop me from granting you graces. This greatness of God floods my soul. I drown in him. I lose myself in him. I'm melting away in him. May 30th. I'm dying of yearning for God today. This longing fills all my soul. How very much I feel I am in exile. Oh Jesus, when will the longed for moment come? May 31st. My tormented soul finds aid nowhere but in you, O living host. I place my trust in a merciful heart. I'm waiting patiently for your word, O Lord. Oh, what pain it causes my heart when I see a nun who has not the religious spirit. How can one be pleasing to God when one is inflated with pride and self-love under pretense of striving for God's glory, or in fact one is seeking one's own glory? When I see such a thing, it gives me very great pain. How can such a soul be united closely with God? Union with the Lord is out of the question here. So pride and self-love keep us away from God. June 1st, 37. Today the call for Christi procession took place. At the first altar, a flame issued from the host and pierced my heart. And I heard a voice, "Here is my resting place." My heart was inflamed, and I felt that I was transformed completely into Him. In the evening, He gave me to understand how fleeting all earthly things are, and how everything that appears great disappears like smoke and does not give the soul freedom, but weariness. Happy the soul that understands these things and when only one foot touches the earth. My repose is to be united with You. Everything else ties me. Oh, how much I feel I'm in exile. I see that no one understands my interior life. You alone understands me. You who are hidden in my heart and yet are eternally alive. June 4th. Today the feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. During the Holy Mass, I was given the knowledge of the heart of Jesus and the nature of the fire of love with which He burns for us, and how it is an ocean of mercy. Then I heard a voice, "Apostle of my mercy, proclaim to the whole world my unfathomable mercy. Do not be discouraged by difficulties you encounter in proclaiming my mercy. These difficulties that affect you so painfully are littered for your sanctification and an evidence that this work is mine." So the will for God is always you have to suffer. When you preach to the world, you have to suffer. When you bring someone back to the church, you have to suffer for that sake. You have to pay for the price of God to get of Jesus. But we have to share this price. "My daughter, be diligent in writing down every sentence I tell you concerning my mercy, because this is meant for a great number of souls who will profit from it." So today, by the time of 37, Jesus is always asking her to put down all things. First, to meditate. Don't get too far away from the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus rests in peace in the soul. So during adoration, the Lord gave me a deeper knowledge of matter connected with this work. Today, I ask the Lord's pardon for all the offense committed in our comments from which His divine heart suffers. June 6th, first Sunday of month. Today, I make my monthly retreat. I light from the morning meditation. "Whatever you do with me, Jesus, I will always love you, for I am yours. Little matter whether you leave me here or put me somewhere else, I'm always yours. It is with love that I abandon myself to your most wise decrees, O God, and your will, O Lord, is my daily nourishment. You, who know the beatings of my heart, know that it beats for you alone, my Jesus. Nothing can quench my longing for you. I'm dying for you, Jesus. When will you take me into your dwelling place?" The word from the Lord. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, write down about my mercy towards tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delights me. To such souls, I grant even greater graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinners if he makes an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. Right, before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. First mercy. When once I felt hurt because of a certain thing and complained to the Lord, Jesus answered, "My daughter, why do you attach such importance to the teaching and the talk of people? I myself want to teach you. That is why I arrange things so that you cannot attend those conferences. In a single moment, I'll bring you to know more than others who acquire through many years of toil." June 20th, 1937. Reassemble God most when we forgive our neighbors. God is love, goodness, and mercy. So try to forgive whatever who hurt you. Don't keep this. Otherwise, we cannot get the grace of God. Word of Jesus. Every soul, and especially the soul of every religious, should reflect my mercy. My heart overflows with compassion and mercy for all. The hearts of my beloved must resemble mine. From her heart must spring the fountain of her mercy for souls. Otherwise, I will allodge her as mine. So we trust in divine mercy. First of all, we ourselves must be the replica of divine mercy. If you don't love, how can you invite people to love? Is it beautiful? We ourselves become the divine mercy so that we can share this love of God. Many times we just expect Jesus to come and give us all the graces. I read again, man. Every soul, and especially the soul of every religious, about reflects my mercy. My heart overflows with compassion and mercy for all. Jesus loves all, no exception. The heart of my beloved resemble mine. Your heart resemble the mind, the heart of Jesus. All, no exception. From her heart, each one of you, must spring the fountain of my mercy for souls. You love as much as Jesus would love. Otherwise, I will not acknowledge her as mine. If we say you belong to Jesus and you do not share his heart for others, how can you say you are her daughter? The daughter resembles the father. So very important today, yeah? So we hope that we practice it this week. Always keep in mind this heart. You be another divine mercy heart. You have the heart of divine mercy. That's the only way. So don't pretend that we say the chapter of divine mercy many times. If we don't have the heart, That's what is right. So from today's onward, whenever we say divine mercy with the heart, this is really